Welcome to the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast, the show for business owners in their 40s and 50s who deeply desire to have a business that serves the market strong and who also deeply desire to finish strong personally. I'm your host, Scott Kochenour, and I'm really honored that you're listening today. What a show we've got for you here. This guest and I resonate on so many levels. Jeff Eshleman is a fantastic resource for creating a life strategic plan, a purpose statement. He's got a method for speculating into the future and making your next year or your future the best that it can be. He's got 30 years of experience, and in business, he was the vice president of operations in a home building company for over 30 years. He managed projects, led people, got results. At his core, Jeff is a personal development guy. And in spite of his successes, he says he's made a ton of mistakes. And we're going to talk about how those mistakes have led to what he's doing right now with his clients. His mission is to use his experience to help others find success and harmony in their own lives. Underline harmony. That's what we're going to talk about. That's why he and his partner have created a community to further that mission. He is also a U.S. Army Gulf War veteran, so it's an honor to have him on the show. Let's get into the conversation. Let's talk about rhythm. Let's talk about harmony. Let's talk about how life balance is the wrong scale to be measuring yourself against. You may have heard life-work balance or work-life balance. Let's blow that out of the water. That is doing more harm than good. And Jeff shares an alternative view that makes all the difference. If you're spinning a bunch of plates, and you might even be proud that you're spinning a lot of plates, we're going to challenge that as well. We're going to talk about how you can check out so you can check in, how you can speculate on your future, and how beneficial that is to do that. So rather than me go on and on, let's get right into the conversation with Jeff. Jeff, I'm really glad that you're on the show today. I can't wait to get into the topic. Thanks for being here.
So delighted to be with you, Scott.
Jeff, you mentioned, we're going to get right into it. You mentioned a pivotal moment at age 38 where you had to make a decision about your life. Can you share more about this turning point and also how it changed your perspective on success and life balance?
Sure. It was the second year in a row of going to a doctor's appointment, a regular physical. Where the year before, you know, he made some comment like, you know, Jeff, you're extremely unthin, trying to be, you know, trying to break the tension. And that year before, I had said, you know, doc, I know you're right. I'll get all that fixed up. But here I was sitting on the same table a year later, really at the same weight. And he basically said to me, well, it looks like you're going to need a prescription for, I think it was cholesterol lowering medication, right? And so I can still remember sitting there with my, you know, with my butt on the little crinkly paper, and he's sitting in that little chair. And this is in the 90s, so he's still writing on an old school prescription pad, right?
Right.
And it was like a switch went off in my head when I saw him writing that prescription. And Scott, I knew before he tore the paper off of the pad that I wasn't going to fill it. Now, I didn't say that to him. I took the prescription from him with my little tail between my legs, and I walked out of that office, and I went home, and I put that prescription by my coffee pot. And I won't say to the audience what I said to my head, but it was something along the lines of, you know, you fat F, right? Like, you know better than this.
Yeah.
And here you are, you know, grown-ass man with a doctor having to tell you that, you know, the poor decisions that you've made in your life, at least physically, have led you to this point, and now you're going to need a prescription to fix that, right? And it was all because of my own choices leading up. And I don't know what it was that resonated with me in that moment, but it was a turning point that started the journey of me doing a lot of things differently.
You know, in the Serving Strong world, we call that an awakening. You basically had an awakening, and it shifted everything from the core of who you were. It wasn't something that, you know, on the outside, I'm going to try to add this exercise thing, but it was, sounds like it came from within.
I actually refer to that era of my life as the awakening year. 2008 was the year that I had an awakening. So that absolutely resonates.
So let's talk about balance. Okay. And the difference between what most people think of as balance and what you call harmony.
Sure.
So many people chase the idea of balance. That is just one of those common work-life balance. But you advocate harmony instead. Can you break down the distinction between these two for our listeners?
And so as far as balance goes, I just think it's the wrong measurement, right? Think about like an old apothecary scale, right? I've got one behind me here to remind me.
Yeah.
And so are we somehow supposed to believe that we put everything from work in one of those bowls and everything from the rest of our life in the other, and somehow they're supposed to hang in equilibrium? And we all know like life doesn't work like that. So it's just the wrong measurement, balance. Yeah. So I prefer this notion of harmony. And here's how it came to me, Scott. So I am trying to create something in my life that is, and the two best descriptions I ever found for harmony, one was music, right? So we know when we hear a beautiful song, whatever resonates with us, beautiful songs can move us emotionally, right? I love to think about, you know, like the big Whitney Houston song where she's belting out, you know, and it's just beautiful, right?
Yeah.
And the other physical example that I see, though, is in sports. And I love to think about the Olympics because that's where the best athletes in the world are coming together. And if you think about the Winter Olympics and you think about figure skating, for example, you have the best athletes in the world that are strong and graceful and beautiful and rhythmic. And then two people come together and do it in harmony. And when you see like couples ice dancing or figure skating play out, it's breathtaking, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are the type of examples that I want to live up to in my own life. And so now let me use another analogy that it helps me figure out what was wrong in 2008. So I love to use the plate spinning analogy, right? So if you have all the plates and you're going around on the sticks and you're spinning them around, right? And I got as good at plate spinning as anybody that I've ever seen in my entire life. But at the end of the day, you're still spinning plates. And so you really have to decide, like one of the most important things is decide what are the plates going to be? And I think that's where so many of us go wrong. And we're not going wrong. It's because we're a society built on achievement and trying to do it all and be it all. Mm-hmm. And God love us, we go out there and run real hard and try and do all of that. And then we take on too much. And then we seemingly let, like I did in my life, where, and it wasn't just physical for me, but it was many things in my life. But physical was that manifestation that led to that awakening where something gets out of harmony, right? I was chasing the corporate ladder. I was chasing, you know, my own success and growth and professional, and my health suffered, right? And that's not sustainable.
Fantastic. You know, I'm resonating because one of the things I do with clients to create their strategic plan is let's do an inventory of all the plates you're spinning, you know, and the plates, many plates, most plates are of our own choosing.
Right.
Some aren't, you know, an aging parent. We didn't choose to have those parents and they age and then they need us. That's a plate that needs to be spun, but it's not one we chose. But most others, you know, like you said in the doctor's office, you know, you left with that piece of paper in your hand with no intention of filling it, saying, no one else made me this way.
Right.
You know, fantastic. I love that. So let's talk about the harmony, the life harmony system. You created a system now.
That's exactly right. And almost everything that I've used, Scott, is a direct lift from business. It is processes that I was doing in my corporate and in my business world. And I'll tell you how it came to me. I was up late on it was probably March 30th. And I was up late and I was working on goals because I had a leadership retreat right that following day. And I was trying to make sure that all those boxes got checked and I was going to be reporting out to the leadership team on how I had just done that quarter and my personal priorities and what my teams were responsible for. Mm-hmm. And so I went ahead and did all that. But you know what dawned on me? I was like, how come I don't do this in my own life? Like, how come I'm not up here burning the midnight oil, you know, late on, you know, June 30th, right? Mm-hmm. You're like trying to check off and see like, oh my gosh, I said I was going to have this much in my 401k. Is that how much is in there? Or mm-hmm. do I step up on the scale? And then when the number flashes, do I say, oh my, you know, am I going to have to report this out to the team? And so it is really this awareness that I started to develop through these business practices. Why do companies have business plans? It's because they want to be successful. So why don't we have a life plan? Mm-hmm. If I want my life to be successful, I create a life plan. And so that's my Harmony Life System. And it comes in three parts. The first is a one-page plan for your life. Mm-hmm. And so I call that the North Star. So this is where your core values live. Mm-hmm. This is core competency. So what are you good at? And then ultimately, a purpose statement. So I have an entire paragraph that says, what is the purpose of my life? Things like mentor and role model and all the, you know, and a giving person, all these kind of things. But I have one line at the end of that core purpose that I can say out loud when somebody asks me, Jeff, why are you on this planet? And it's a direct lift from Jim Rohn. And it says, I want to be happy with what I have while I pursue what I want. And Scott, I'm going to go to my grave trying to do that every single day. So that's where the purpose lives. And then the last part of the one-page plan is yearly goals and monthly goals. And so I update my one-page plan for my life every month at the end of step number two, which is called my day of Zen. So I do an entire day per month. Now, I don't ask all my clients to do that. I have more written goals than anybody that I've ever met in my life. Now, I don't know everybody, but I know a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I have more written. So it takes me that the tagline for my day of Zen is checking out so you can check in. Okay. So what are you checking out on? I'm checking out on everything else in life. Like my family's not going to get a hold of me. There's no work responsibilities. You're not going to get a text or an email or anything from Jeff. I've been doing this for over a decade now, closer to 13 years. And I've really crafted this process. The entire first half of the day for me is a wholesale review of the previous month. This is what I said that I was going to do. Did I do it?
Yeah, measurement.
And oftentimes the answer is yes. And sometimes the answer is no. And when the answer is no, I ask different questions. Like, why? Sometimes the why is, I did everything that I said that I was going to do, and I still didn't achieve this goal. So maybe it was what I call gestation, right? Maybe it was, maybe I'm into SMART goals and writing down when I expect to happen, but that's part of the magic formula, right? Is you can pick a time, but it's not always up to you of when it's going to happen if you've done everything that you said that you were going to do.
When you don't get something done for whatever reason, if you take it from a life balance perspective, you carry more weight emotionally. I failed. You know, there's no room, there's no wiggle room, there's no margin. But harmony takes into account the predictable, unpredictable nature of life. It just happens that way, and it frees you up. One of the things I love about the strategic planning process is you bake into it wiggle room. You bake into it. It has to have iteration.
Sure.
Because
that's
life is
how it works.
Serendipitous. Yeah. That's right. How life works. So, yeah, well, you and I are like parallel right now. I'm almost like listening to my own mind when you're talking. So let me relate this to the listeners. Business owners, very busy, got a lot on their mind, a lot on their shoulders, and they're approaching a stage of life where typically it is called the retirement years. They're not sure what that means to them. They have no intention of, quote, retiring, but they're wondering what is it that I am going to do and how do I approach this life? So take the Life Harmony System. How does this system address common challenges that business owners face as they typically arrive at this 60-ish age point? Do you have any insight there for those listeners?
I think it's really similar to, I mean, what it's like when you're running really hard when you're in your 30s through your 50s. So you're running really hard in business, and the mindset doesn't change, right? The business owner is still go, go, go in their mind. They're still trying to think about what's the downside risk. They're always trying to innovate, right? They're always trying to do all of these things. But the biggest thing that I find with my clients is it's the intentionality. So when I have them step through, and I'm sure you found this yourself, right? When you have somebody step through a one-page plan, and I call them roles and goals, right? So we'll talk about roles here in a minute when we talk about the third stage, which is carpe diem. But when you've identified your roles and goals, it gives you clarity on where you're heading. But the part that it doesn't give, and this is what you also get with the Day of Zen, is you get what I refer to as white space, right? Where you could actually just, and the other word that I love to use, Scott, is intentionality. Like, I am doing life intentionally because I found that it works so much better that way. And so when you can bake intentionally white space into, even if it's just one day a month or a half day a month or whatever you can commit to, then you can do the other secret sauce parts of the equation, which I believe are reflection and speculation. Those are the two words that I love to use with my Day of Zen. And so I encourage my clients, my CEOs, my founders, to be speculating, whether they're in their 30s or their 50s, about what life is going to look like really all the way to your death. I mean, go back to Stephen Covey and, you know, do a eulogy exercise and wonder what those people that you love in your life are saying about you in the end.
Right.
And if you don't like what they're saying, then you can change your life to match what you would want them to say about you.
Wow. And there's this idea of beginning with the end in mind and reverse engineering and all that kind of thing.
And let me just hit on speculation, because I think that's probably the root of what you were searching for right here.
Yeah.
And speculation is going out into the future and letting your mind wander on what could be, right? And then the other thing that it really dawned on me when I started coaching people one-on-one, that I feel like folks almost need permission to not only just speculate and allow themselves to kind of think freely. And this is almost like intentional daydreaming, right? Then what they need beyond that, Scott, is, and that's what I think a good coach does, is ask really good questions and then sort of like, what if, right? Yeah. Like, what if you just experimented at this? That's the other word that I love. What if you just experimented? And then what if you were okay if it failed? Or what if you were okay if this was wildly successful beyond your own dreams?
Sure.
Those are really fun questions to ask.
Yeah. Right? If you knew you couldn't fail, what would it be?
Exactly.
What would you do?
Right.
Yeah. I use the word aspirations when we go out. You know, you and I don't know what's going to happen. The listeners don't know what's going to happen to them when they get off this podcast, let alone 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the road. But you can aspire. You can speculate. I love the word speculate, because that is a common term, speculating. And I love the word permission. We all have to have permission, give ourselves permission to speculate on what it could be like, because we are headed. There's no one gets a bye when it comes to leaving this earth. It is common. It is normal. And it's interesting that there is decline. I mean, that's just the way it is. You wake up in your late 50s like me, and you're a little more sore than you used to, especially when the grandkids were over the day before.
Right.
They're too small enough to pick up, but they're big enough to feel it when you pick them up, you know?
Right.
And so you're sore like you weren't before. That is going to happen. These things are going to happen. So speculating has a very significant role in what we do. And, you know, iteration is part of the path as well. So let's talk about your corporate experience. Now, you've got a 30-year corporate journey.
Yep.
Leading organizations, unprecedented results. How did these experiences shape your philosophy about harmony? You worked for a home builder, right?
Correct. Yes. Here, the majority of my experience is here in the Phoenix market. And and really sort of a unicorn, Scott, where I work for the same organization the entire 30 years. The one thing that I think makes my experience a little bit different, and maybe a little bit, it feels to me like a more rich experience, as I started my career with the organization was a private company. And then in the Great Recession and the downturn, we got bought by a Fortune 500 company. Oh. And this was right before the Great Recession. And I thought that was going to be a bad thing. It ended up being the best thing of my life because I got to ride out the entire economic downturn working for a Fortune 500 and all of the training and the experience and the benefits that I gained from working for that Fortune 500 company was really set my career up for mm-hmm. success. And then the third leg of the adventure is that Fortune 500 company sold us to a pure play home builder in 2014. And so I got to see what it was like to run into the corporate fire on a day-to-day basis. And so okay. all three of those experiences, I think, have given me kind of Scott, the good, the bad, and the ugly of each of them. And they all have a culmination of mm-hmm. each. But, you know, the harmony for me is figure out, instead of just being a really good plate spinner, right? Like, you know, the blue ribbon for plate spinning, right? Mm-hmm. Where you get the prize and you get the bonus or you get the stocks and all that stuff. And I've played all that and been really good at it.
Sure.
But now that I figured out how to live my life in harmony, how come, and those are the questions I was asking myself at the end of my corporate career, was like, why can't I have all of these things without having to be a great plate spinner? How come I can't just have my life in harmony? And as Tony Robbins would say, if you ask yourself better questions, hopefully you're going to come up with better answers, right? Mm-hmm. It is the start of that process.
That's right. Because you get the ribbon, you know, there's a ribbon ceremony, you get the ribbon. And then you look back over at the plates and there's some wobbling. You got to run back over and keep spinning, right? Right. So the accolades.
Can't take too much time to party.
That's right. That's right. That's interesting. In fact, there is an old comedian on YouTube that you might enjoy pulling up. Charlie Callis.
Okay.
Chalis, I believe. It's a comedic routine on a stage. And he's a comedian and he, you know, keeps getting plates thrown at him and he keeps starting another one and he starts another one. And he's got all these plates running back and forth. It's hilarious in the comedic sense. It's not hilarious in real life.
Right.
Because that leads to burnout.
Hedonic.
Yeah. And I bet there's a lot of listeners who are going, yep, that's exactly, it's like, that's me.
Yep.
I'm spinning a lot of plates.
Right.
So let me ask you this from a perspective of your experience. What are some of the misconceptions or the pitfalls that leaders have regarding personal growth and development? In other words, what is different about your process with Daily Zen, your speculating the annual goals and the quarterly goals and stepping away, checking out so you can check in? That all didn't just happen overnight, right? What are pitfalls that business owners run into?
Well, two of them specifically. And then the first one is, you know, they just think they're done. They think, you know, I've graduated from college or I graduated from business school or whatever. And, you know, I've learned enough to start my own company. You know, what else do I need? I've read, you know, 1.5 business books every year, and therefore I'm staying current. And there are so many elements of leadership in business, whether it be, and I'll tell you, strategic planning is probably one of the biggest opportunities that I see in business as people, and let's go back and use that same word we're using for life. People are just not intentional enough about the strategy of their business. They might be building effective business plans and they might even be doing it on a yearly basis. But if you don't have the strategy that's driving your business, it's almost like the equity version of spinning those plates, right? Mm-hmm. So number one is just feeling like I'm there. And then the other one is it's almost the opposite of it. It's the I'm going to run my business by the flavor of the month, right? So what business book just got released in the last month? You know, I read this book. Hey, team, we got to read this. Like, again, if you go back to the strategy or for me, like my one-page plan, my one-page plan tells me, Scott, as much about what I'm not going to do yes. as it tells me what I'm going to do, right?
That is very true. And probably more significantly, what you're not going to do as opposed to what you are going to do.
Exactly. So maybe the last point on being a lifetime learner, and I tell this to, and I've been telling this to my teams for years, And there are great books that have been written in the last 10, 15, 20 years, Atomic Habits and things of that nature. But how many people haven't went deep on the old stuff? How many people are running a business and they've never read How to Win Friends and Influence People?
Right. Foundational. Right.
Exactly. Or Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Who is running a business who doesn't have every member of their team read that book? Because if you have a healthier team, you have a healthier company. And these things are not easy. It's not easy to invest because everything that you, I always tell people when I'm doing leadership development, like this is what you do in addition to your day job, right?
Yeah.
Your day job is what you get paid to be if you're a mid-level manager or senior level leader, right? The CEO has to be all of that. They have to be the visionary. They have to be the one that's casting the vision. They have to be the one that's guiding the strategy. They don't have to have all of the strategy, but they have to guide it. And then they have to be the person that the buck stops there. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to run a company where you're trying to get your entire team to be better, better people, better in life, better with their leadership, that's all in addition to your day job.
Yeah. Yeah. When we look at the fact that the CEO, the owner, does that for years, decades. And again, they're approaching their fourth quarter, their 60s, 70s, 80s. A stronger team makes a business more likely to thrive without them as it does with them. Right. And I think that's some of the awakening that we talk about. You wake up one morning and you think, why am I still doing all this? And why am I having trouble with it? Well, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just you're not 30 anymore. We go through seasons. This is what I love about the life harmony idea is that we go through two things. We go through seasons of life. You know, you break your leg. It's in a cast. You can't drive. So you got to be driven around. But normally the cast comes off and you go back to driving. That's a season. A stage, however, comes. And it doesn't come and go. It's the progression. Mm-hmm. You know, when I ran the marathon back in 2001 in my mid-30s or so, I trained a certain way. If I think about running a marathon in as a 58, 59-year-old, I'm going to have to approach it differently.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with me. I'm just not 30 anymore.
Right.
In the stage of life, these progress. You know, they move from one to the next. And we just have to come to terms with that. And sometimes that requires us to let plates drop to the ground if it's not fatal.
Make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But consciously and intentionally.
Strategically.
Yep. Yes.
Strategically. That's right. And so when something comes along in life, an opportunity or a downfall or a windfall, having something to bounce that off against, like your purpose statement, your one-page plan, can get to quicker decision-making with that. Fantastic. So, man, I could talk all day with you about this. We are like, you know, let me show you my strategic plan. You
exactly.
One page plan.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Right.
But unfortunately, we have so much time. I want to talk about action steps for the listeners.
Sure.
For the listeners who are most likely inspired by your message today, what are some immediate steps they can take toward prioritizing their life and creating harmony for their own experience?
Okay. Within 30 minutes of finishing listening to this podcast, go into your calendar and pick 2 or 3 hours somewhere in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Almost everybody, regardless of how busy they're telling themselves they're that busy, most everybody could go into their calendar in the next 2 or 3 weeks and find a 2 or 3 hour chunk of time where you can be alone. And when you can sit with your thoughts and you can spend some time and you can do those words that I talked about before. And the first one is reflect. And so reflect on the last week, reflect on the last month, reflect on the last year. And then just ask yourself the questions. Am I happy with how this is going? And hopefully in a lot of cases, you'll check the boxes and you'll say, yes. I'm happy with my physical health and I'm happy with my relationships and I have money in the bank and all of these things. But like me, maybe you'll sit down and you'll say, oh, wow, you know, I looked in the mirror and, you know, if I'm scared, then, you know, I bet my wife is running the other way, right? So if you reflect, and then second, is use half of that time to speculate and look out into the future and say, okay, what could it be? And let's use my physical health example, right? Even if I looked in the mirror and I'm not pleased with the results, you don't have to look like most people do and say, oh my gosh, I should get a gym membership and I should run right out and I should work out five times a week and all that and get this thing fixed. But if you looked at it over a year's time and you said, what I've been asking my clients now for, I don't know, probably 60 days is, what's it going to take to make 2024 the best year you have ever had? Isn't that a fun question?
Yes.
If you wanted 2024 to be the best year you've ever had in your life, if you're in your 60s or in your 30s, what if you wanted this to be the best year that you ever had? And then ask the other questions. What would it take for it to be that way? Okay, my relationships are going really well. Okay, well, I'm going to continue and invest in my relationships. Or, you know, how it works. We have all these relationships in our life. It's a spouse and it's children and it's grandchildren and it's extended family and aging parents. And when you ask questions about all those relationships, you might say, wow, I've got that brother that I, you know, haven't really stayed in touch with. Make it the best year ever? If I made it in 2024 and I got a little closer to Bill, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you move the needle on a relationship, right?
Yeah.
And just by speculating and asking yourself better questions, you start to guide towards what better can look like. And the fun thing about better, Scott, is we all get to decide what better means for us. Mm-hmm. It's not something we read from a book, and it's not something when we go to the gym and we, you know, look at the guy on the machine and you're like, I wish I had biceps like that. It's right. Like, what does better look like for you?
Yeah. Yeah. You've inspired, as you're talking, I've got my calendar up. I looked at, of course, we're recording this on the 10th of November. On the 16th of November, from 3 to 5 in the afternoon, I have a reflect and speculate. And I have two questions in this appointment. What will it look like for 24 to be the best year I've ever lived? And what will it require to make 24 the best year I've ever had?
That's beautiful. You just did what only maybe 5% of people, though, that are listening to this podcast would do, which is actually do it. That's why I said within 30 minutes of finishing listening to this podcast, go to your calendar, electronic, paper, wherever you keep it, and block this time out.
Right.
It's only a small percentage of people who will do it. And if you're the kind of person who finishes this podcast and doesn't do it, then maybe that's another question you could ask yourself is, how come I'm the kind of person that doesn't just go put the time in the calendar and then do it?
Exactly. Exactly. Because this podcast will probably air the 12th year of 2023.
Phenomenal. Great time to hear this message.
That's exactly, exactly right. This is fantastic. So can you share more about the free Harmony quiz? If I wanted to take that Harmony quiz now, I know where to go. I've already put it in that event on the 16th. That's one of the things I'm going to do is take your Harmony quiz. But where do the listeners go to find that Harmony quiz?
The listeners can go to my website. So that's jeffeschleman.com. Let me spell that just for the last name. So it's jeffeschleman.com. So jeffeschleman.com. And the Harmony quiz, it's a wonderful example. It walks through about 8 sections of your life, and it asks these reflective type questions that just get your mind working. And I would almost invite you, Scott, to maybe go take the Harmony quiz a week before you do your Zen reflection.
Okay.
That way you'll get the results, and in the back of your mind will be percolating like what your score was. And when you get to that Zen opportunity that you've already blocked out on the 16th, your mind is going to be prepared to go there. Right. So just one other suggestion.
Yeah, I'm a junkie on this kind of stuff. And I would hope that we can increase the percentage of the number of people who would do this. If you're driving right now and you're listening, of course, you don't want to do it right now unless you pull off to the side of the road. Find a parking lot. Pull up your calendar. You can do it on your phone. But if you're sitting there at work, when you should probably be listening to working instead of listening to this podcast, your calendar is right in front of you. So go ahead and do it. I can attest. And I have done what you're doing. It's what I do with my clients as well, strategic planning. It will make an enormous difference because it's you're training your brain, your non-conscious, to be thinking about what you're speculating, to begin looking at, you know, it's a confirmation bias, you know, which can work grossly against you or for you, you know, it just depends on where you point your brain. And if you point your brain toward where you're headed and think fantastic next year, then your brain's going to be looking for confirmation about that. And it's going to discount and filter out the things that don't align with that. So what better way to do that than to set a time for reflection and speculation? This has been such a cool episode. You and I have more talking to do. We got to compare notes. It's like we're two brothers from different mothers, and we've been on a path, both 30 years of experience in business. And, you know, I get, you know, here's the question I get. If I create a life plan, isn't that constricting? Doesn't that mean I've got to abide by this and that and the other, and I can't take, it's like I'm on the inside looking out. I wish I could. My response is flip that on its head. I mean, especially when you're entering your fourth quarter, when every day means more and has more value than the day before because of scarcity. I mean, when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, your future just got one day more valuable. That's because correct. Of scarcity. So it carries more weight as to what you do. So without a plan, if you live by default, you run the risk of blowing the lid off the jar of regret, and you fill that jar. And that lid, which there's only one lid, goes on the jar of freedom. Yep. And freedom, as one person said on LinkedIn the other day, freedom is the new rich. Freedom to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, where you want to do it, who you want to do that with. That's the new rich. It's not money. It's freedom. But if you're going to live by default, then you might as well put the lid on that freedom and get ready for a banquet of consequences.
Love that.
Right? Yeah. So I love strategic planning in the life realm.
Right.
Most of these listeners, you guys listening, you know what strategic planning is all about. You know, you've done it. You strategic plans and execution and all that kind of stuff. It's easy to see that in the world of business. Take that and apply it to the world of life and develop a life of harmony. This has been great. I tell you what, we're going to put the link to the harmony quiz in the show notes as well. And where, you know, all these links that we talked about. So Jeff, it's been a pleasure. It really has.
Absolutely.
This has been good.
I've enjoyed our time, Scott.
We'll talk again, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'd love that.
All right. This has been another episode of the Soar Strong, Finish Strong podcast, and here are your next steps. First of all, subscribe to the show. That way you'll be notified of upcoming episodes. Number two, share this show with a colleague. It's dedicated to mature business owners who want a great company and seek a fantastic fourth quarter of life. Number three, visit servingstrong.com/pod for more details on what to do with these episodes. It's a place for you to dive just a little deeper on the topics that matter most to you. I want to thank you for listening. And until next time, here's to your business serving the market strong, and here's to you personally finishing strong. This has been another episode of the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast. I take your time very seriously. Therefore, my pledge is to continue bringing you information and insight you need to be successful in your adventure as you finish strong. Be sure to check the show notes for the information related in this episode. Subscribe to be notified when new shows drop and leave a review if you're so inclined. I'll talk to you next time.